The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
Thank you very much, Eamon. Good evening. You're listening to The Hard Shoulder here on News Talk. Kieran Cuddihy with you until 7 o'clock. Between now and then, we're going to be talking about reversing death, about hunting Tom Cruise, and we'll have a podcast recommendation from the pod couple. Before all of that, though, I want to mention a lady I spoke to in the last hour here in the show. Ruth is her name. Ruth got in touch with us here on the show after hearing a conversation about housing and homelessness. And why she got in touch is because on the 22nd of August, or the 26th rather, of August this year, in 22 days time, Ruth is going to have to pack up her house, and herself and her two teenage kids are going to go down to the local authority offices and ask for a bed for the night. Ruth is a professional. She is a mother and a grandmother, as it happens, and she is facing homelessness because there are so few properties to rent in Galway. And money is not the problem. Money is not limitless, but Ruth made the point that she can pay up to about 1,500 quid, more than that, in rent. That's enough to service a mortgage on a house for a first-time buyer of, you know, upwards of 400 grand. But there's simply nowhere for her to rent. Take a little listen.
I'm so scared and nervous and putting my stuff, like, we're literally packing, but with nowhere to go. Like, my daughter's there packing, but nowhere to go. And
I mean, it must be heartbreaking, Ruth, particularly
I
for your daughter.
I wake up every morning and I feel like there's a truck on my chest. And I mean, I have to work at the same time. I have to carry on with my job, like, you know.
That was Ruth speaking to me a little bit earlier in the show today. You can listen back to the full interview. It's available as a podcast. It's up on the News Talk app. Cormac and Swords says, heartbreaking listening to that woman's story. There's no shortage of properties to rent, though, in Galway, but they're all short-term lets on Airbnb. There's over 500 entire homes to rent in Galway City on Airbnb right now. The government should bring in emergency legislation to ban Airbnb in large towns and cities. So says Cormac in Swords. I had to pull over my car. I am crying that much, says somebody else. I am a few years older than this woman and I can't begin to understand her torment. It is a scandal. I really hope somebody helps her. And listening to Ruth here, says another listener, I may be able to help her out. I'm moving to Tuam shortly. The house I'm renting will become available in Athenry. The train takes 20 minutes to Galway City Centre from Athenry, and my kids went to the same school as Ruth's daughter, so it might be manageable. Well, listen, thank you very much for getting in touch. What we will do is we will pass on your details to Ruth, and we'll get the two of you in contact, and maybe it's a resolution. Fingers crossed. 53106, the text number. Keep your views coming at a cost of 30 cents. We'll stick with housing and the housing crisis, because you will have heard mention, and Eamon talked about it in the news headlines there, of this suggestion from one of the state's larger property developers, Glenveagh, that people don't need back gardens to be as big as they used to be. So they used to be 22 metres between back doors. In other words, everybody got an 11 metre long back garden. They say you can get away with 16 metres between back doors, an 8 metre back garden from back door to your back wall. So 3 metres knocked off every garden in the country. Dermot Gavin, a gardener himself, is going to be my guest on the Thursday interview, serendipitously, and that is coming up at 6:30. Here's what he had to say about it.
It scared me a little bit when I saw that. I mean, we need housing for people to live in, but if we're reducing gardens, we're also reducing runoff land, area for water to go to. So even though we're getting less rain, when it comes down in absolute torrents and it causes flooding. So if there's no places in our urban or suburban areas for that water to run off, if drains get clogged up, well, then we have increasing problems with flooding and all sorts of other issues. So I think a balance needs to be struck, doesn't it?
Yeah, Dermot Gavin, who is going to be my guest in the Thursday interview that is coming up at 6:30 this evening. But on the issue of making back gardens smaller so that you can build more houses, Brendan O'Sullivan is with me. He's head of University College Cork's Planning School. Brendan, do you think this idea makes some sense?
I think anything which helps us to rethink about our suburban locations are designed is a good thing. And suggestions like this should be part of the conversation. For sure, especially because our patterns in towns and the outskirts of cities has been very low density, and because some guidance, which was very historic, has tended to be interpreted as rules, And when figures like 11 metres or 5 metres, 25 square metres back gardens, when those figures are bandied around and are interpreted as rules, we end up with places that are like cookie-cutter versions of themselves. So we have long lines of houses and each one looking like the other one. And the not only the character of the place is a little bit soulless, but often the gardens are not very usable depending whether you're on a slope upwards or a slope downwards, yeah, whether you're facing the south or not. So, like, I think the guideline that people are referring to, this 22 metres, is quite an old one. Probably does need to be re-examined. But I think people generally, and Dermot Gavin and other people, have contributed to the raising of the awareness of people of good design generally over the last generation. I think there are much more imaginative ways of dealing with these design issues than just simply putting out a rule. And the thing that would worry me slightly, Kieran, is that it's mixing it up with other issues around, you know, apartment sizes and sizes of homes, family sizes, and what people can afford. And I'd be slightly worried that a suggestion like this is going to try and shift us away from really trying to deliver good quality houses in town centres.
Yeah, because one would suspect that the concerns you raise about the kind of the cookie cutter homes and all the houses looking exactly like one another all in a row, that wouldn't change here. They just all have slightly smaller back gardens. Just might have 50 of them instead of 40 of them on the housing site.
Yeah, and bizarrely enough, I mean, if you look at some of the old industrial housing that was built for workers in, you know, at the end of the 19th century, in, you know, industrial cities around the place, and now they're kind of desirable kind of pads for people. we can never really predict what people will appreciate in terms of heritage. I think it's not just simply about the number of units per acre, which is what the way developers often think. It has to be the quality and the mix and the design of places. Rather than these simply these standards. So it has to be part of the conversation, absolutely. And what the Dermot said there about runoff, I mean, local authorities in particular, but developers and builders are now much more sensitive to how you deal with things like runoff, using nature as a way of dealing with flooding.
Yeah.
You know, we're much more sophisticated. We've got much better tools and awareness at our disposal now than we did. And I think it's not just about a simple back-to-back distance anymore.
Let me bring in John Moran, who's former chair of the Land Development Agency. John, what do you make of this suggestion from Glenn Vey? Is it a suggestion the government should be taking seriously?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, I'll concur with what I just said, which is that any suggestion is worth thinking about and considering. But I think we have to avoid what seems to be suggestions that are based on the cost of housing or reducing the cost of housing by fitting in more per square metre or whatever else it might be. You know, I mean, I think that this requires a proper conversation that's much broader. So we talk about the runoff water that we just described. I find it fascinating that in Ireland and I guess in the UK, we developed this concept of suburbia as a kind of a compromise between urban living we didn't want and rural living, which we all wanted but couldn't have. and it seems to have generated this desire for an individual life. I mean, I have my own car. I don't ride public transport. I have my own garden. I put my own bouncy castle in for the kids. You know, you could take all of the ends of all of these gardens that we've just described in this proposal and make that a public square or a public garden that's animated in front of all of the houses and end up with a much better neighborhood as a result, where people share their space, there's less isolation. You can actually grow big trees because there's enough space by kind of pooling the space. Whereas if you have lots of small gardens, you're going to end up with nobody having any trees and a sort of a grey neighbourhood. And I think the conversation needs to be much broader than just, we can reduce the cost to 300,000 by 50,000 or 100,000 by taking off a couple of metres off the end of somebody's garden that they may not ever use. I mean, so the proposal might be
so,
right.
So better use of land doesn't necessarily mean squeezing in more houses.
Or it means, I mean, the thing I find, I suppose, difficult about this debate is it presupposes that in our suburban areas, it is important for everybody and important for the state that everybody has a ground floor garden and a front door that opens out onto a street or into a garden. And that itself is structurally pushing us into a direction of travel that makes it impossible to create different types of suburbia than we currently have. And I think we all know how important that is around transport nodes and everything else. And so I think that's a really important debate to start with. And then we figure out what is the right size. I mean, maybe it's a density per hectare. Maybe it's the local government actually leading with development planning rather than, planning that's actually a result of what the planners say rather than the developers. So that there's already good public realm in place and the developments are building off of that.
Let me go back to Brendan. Brendan, the phrase that John used there was the direction of travel. How would you describe the direction of travel when it comes to planning in suburbia specifically?
Well, the direction of travel since the middle of the 20th century has been towards low-density suburbs, and except in parts of Dublin where it was based around very good public transport, including trains, it's been unsustainable, and that has been the line of travel. That's begun to slow and change a little bit. We're now focusing on town centres a lot more. Things are, the quality of design is getting a lot better. It's interesting I think this proposal, if it was the only thing on the table, would actually lead to more of the same. It would just be simply more of the same. But the shift of that's happening now at the moment is about making places more sustainable. I know that word is used and overused in many cases, but we all know what it's like when we go on holidays to a European city or somewhere, and we can see how public open spaces are used by people. COVID has taught us how to use open spaces, but we don't have good open spaces in our suburban areas. I think the real trouble for suburban areas, and I think it will be a challenge for many existing residents who aren't used to it, is how do we densify them a little bit? A lot of good old suburban areas are well served by public transport and shops and other facilities, but they're still a bit too low density. So some people describe it as like an urban dentist who might go in and a bit of surgery in a place. And bit by bit, with lots of small projects, you can densify a place and make it more workable. And as John said, open spaces have to be usable. Some standards, for example, for back gardens in some county councils and city councils, development plans suggest that every back garden, not only will it have a certain size, but it will be surrounded by a 2-meter-high concrete wall for so-called privacy. But they're like little prisons. They're not usable spaces. They don't respect nature. And again, the argument around, if they're using this design argument in order to say we're going to reduce the price per unit, the reality is the price per unit, even at that, is going to be unaffordable.
Yeah.
When you link it back to your other previous story about what's facing people at the moment, when we're expecting only the market to deliver homes and how it's not doing it the way we expect, we shouldn't be sidetracked just into the design issue, because affordability probably is a little bit more important, and affordability is the cost of owning a home is only one part.
Yeah.
You've got to live in it, you've got to get to work, bring the kids to places they need to get to, so it's not just your initial upfront.
And John, of course, the likes of Glenveagh or other property developers might make the point, listen, we respond to demand and we can decry it all we want, but there's just a culture in Ireland, and it still exists and it's still strong, and people still want their own bit of back garden and they want a 2-meter-high concrete wall around it.
And we have to ask if that's the right answer for Ireland, right? I mean, and I know there's a lot of pushing back against a certain tide, but we all know how many of us actually have travelled abroad, lived abroad for a while, and we don't worry about the fact that we sit on a balcony and somebody sees us from the balcony across the street. We're happy living that way because of the fact that we're surrounded by an alternative type of lifestyle, an alternative type of living. Whereas this goes back to my compromise between rural. It's like everybody who kind of in this emotional part of the Irish debate wants a rural house with nobody seeing them. But they also want the conveniences of an urban type environment with public transport. And we're trying to bridge both of those. And I don't think that's possible. And I think we do need to open the question. Is it right that, people actually have their own right to not have their garden overlooked? Why should you? I mean, you want to go to a restaurant. You don't want to go to a restaurant that's empty. You want to go to a restaurant where there's lots of people seeing you eat and watching you eat at the same time on the terrace. So what is it that when you have a barbecue out the back, there's some egregious, sin by the fact that the neighbours have a bedroom window that could see you actually, you know, cooking up your burgers. And all
John, maybe it's not the fear about being seen cooking the burgers. Maybe it's the fear about being seen in the bedroom by the person cooking the burgers. Maybe you have it the wrong way around. John Moran is the former chair of the Land Development Agency. Brendan O'Sullivan is head of University College Cork's Planning School. Listen, thank you both very much for joining me. It's a really interesting discussion.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.